You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
So I just saw this story come across from Adam Schefter and others. The NFL has fined the Falcons $250,000 as a team. Defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich, $100,000 personally for, quote, failing to prevent the disclosure of confidential information distributed to the club in advance of the NFL draft, end quote. So they're not fining. Now, obviously, this stems from what happened the night of the draft when Jeff Ulbrich's son prank called Shedeur Sanders. I'm sure a lot of you have seen that. You've seen the video. Ridiculous, all this stuff that's happening. What are we doing, right? Horrible. Biggest, I don't care what you feel about Shedeur Sanders or anybody else. Biggest moment of these people's lives. And we got people out here prank calling them and playing with their emotions. We got to be better as a society about this stuff, right? Now, that said, they're not being fined because of the action necessarily. They're being fined because of not saying to the league, hey, we had a leak of a phone number. And it wasn't really a leak. If you really kind of believe the story of how it was left open and the kid got it, whatever, however you want to phrase it. So that's what's happening. So a lot going on with that and how they're handling it and this story that blew up over the weekend. All right, let's get back out to the Wester hotline. We just talked a little bit about one ACC player the Bills drafted, and that was tight end Jackson Hawes of Georgia Tech. Now it's time to talk about another ACC player that was drafted right after that, Dorian Strong of Virginia Tech. We welcome in right now Andy Bitter on the Wester Hotline to talk a little bit more about Dorian Strong. Andy, it's Sal Capaccio here in Buffalo, and Andy is with Tech Sideline to join us today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You got it, buddy. You got it. All right. What can you tell us about the player, Dorian Strong, on the field?
I think he's a pretty solid cornerback. You look at his track record the last couple years, especially his 2023 season, where I think you look at his numbers, they're, you know, just the number of times he was thrown at and the completions that he had against him were remarkably low, among the best in the country if you go by an NFL passer rating against in that season. No, I think he's a really good cover guy. I think he's got speed. I think he's grown his strength over the years, and he's got a pretty good mindset at corner to have a short memory, put bad plays behind you real quick, and come back and make a play on the next one. So I think he's a, at some point I thought there was talk of him maybe going third or fourth round. So to get him in the sixth round like that, I think that's pretty good value for the Bills.
So I've heard a little bit about, him being able to play zone, which is great. That's what the Bills play a lot of. But he says he loves playing press man. He loves being up in a guy's face. So feels like, and it seems like, according to him, he can kind of do it all. What was he expected or asked to do while at Virginia Tech?
Well, that's the thing about Virginia Tech is they very much put their corners on an island. They like to pressure the quarterback. They like to bring the house on stuff. And you're not always getting safety help out there on the outside. So you're often on an island. You're often, it's do or die in those situations. That's part of the reason why Virginia Tech's had so many successful cornerbacks, defensive backs over the years. I think it's 31 that have been drafted since 1997, defensive backs from Virginia Tech. So that's a pretty good track record for school. It's not Georgia, it's not Texas or Alabama like that, but it punches above its weight class when it comes to defensive back. So I think that mentality that they instill here and the type of defense they play where, sink or swim, you're out there, you have to do it. I think that helps these guys get prepared for the next level.
The Bills don't really need another nickel. They have Taron Johnson, obviously, and then Cam Lewis. They just drafted a young man from Ohio State as well. He has some flexibility to play nickel if they need to in a pinch. What about physicality, being able to play the run, being able to play inside if they were asking him to do that in a situation like that?
Yeah, Virginia Tech asked him to play a little bit of nickel last year. That was one of the big selling points on him coming back for his senior season is, broaden your horizons here, add this to your tool set. And, he accepted that challenge and did a little bit. He's never been a huge guy. I think when he got to college, he was like 160, 165 or something like that. So he packed on some weight. He was a pretty rail thin guy, but he played right away. So he you know, stood up to the rigors of playing college football. Is he a guy you want in total run support all the time? Probably not that type of guy, but certainly can cover in the slot and handle things in the slot with the quickness the receivers have there.
Jordan Hancock, by the way, the player from Ohio State the Bills drafted. So I looked over his bio, Dorian Strong. We talked with him a little bit. It was super interesting. His dad is a professional weightlifter and bodybuilder. Pretty crazy. And obviously because of that, he's been a guy that's been in the weight room a little bit. But, you know, what can you tell us a little bit about him off the field and what you know about him and his family and kind of a little bit more background on him?
Yeah, he's a pretty good dude. His dad is certainly yoked. I mean, he is a built dude. And, you know, we always asked Dorian because he was so skinny when he came into college. Like, you know, do you ever lift weights with your dad and stuff like that? He's like, yeah, I did a little bit. But my dad was always like, I don't want you to lose that speed that you have. That was sort of his calling card in high school. His speed is a track runner. So he never really hit the weights hard like that. He's done it, you know, his fair share since he got to college to get bigger. But that was sort of, he was never going to go down the path to being like his dad. Yeah, I think the one thing with Dorian was when he was like a two-star recruit, something like that. Virginia Tech got him very early. Didn't have a ton of, you know, people beating on his door trying to get him. And, you know, Virginia Tech offered him early. He accepted early. And the coach at the time, Justin Fuente, told him, you know what, you're going to have a big senior year and a bunch of schools are going to come after you. I'm going to tell you that's what's going to happen. And sure enough, he did. And a bunch of schools came after him and he stuck with Virginia Tech. So, I think from the second he got to campus in Blacksburg, they thought he was going to be a player because he just sort of had that attitude about him, that mentality. And, you know, he played as a true freshman. He was out there during the COVID season and playing out there, started the second or third game of the season like that. So he's got quite a bit of experience for a guy that was not really like a blue chip prospect when he was in high school. He has worked his way to get to where he is.
And what about his personality, interviewing him, talking to him, fitting in an NFL locker room?
He's a very upbeat guy. You know, he did the ACC kickoff, the media days that they do here. He was one of Virginia Tech's representatives to go down there, and I think he enjoyed that whole process and said that maybe he might want to get into media when his football days are done. So nice. I think he embraced that whole thing. He stuck with the interview side of things, and, you know, we don't always ask the greatest questions of people sometimes, and he's not like he just like, oh, that was a stupid question. No, he bears with you and gives you a great answer and then kind of does it with a smile on his face. So I think he's going to be a good guy fitting into that locker room too.
Well, I'll tell you, he actually, this happened with us over the weekend. When I read the bio, I mistakenly read that he was a competitive weightlifter. So I said on the Zoom call, and I'll own it, I said, hey, I read you're a competitive weightlifter. And instead of him correcting me and saying, no, that's my dad, he just kind of rolled with it. And then I realized that after that I was wrong. But he rolled with it. It was all good. You know, he didn't want to make me look like an idiot. But the question was wrong because I had mistakenly, you know, read it like that. But you're right. That's exactly what happened when that happened. Andy Bitter joining us here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Points Show, Tech Sideline, talking about Dorian Strong. But, you know, Tech had five players drafted all in the fourth or sixth round, like right in that area there. You had Bashiul Tutin by the Jaguars. You had Dorian Strong by the Bills. Jalen Lane by the Commanders. Aeneas Peebles, I believe it is, by the Baltimore Ravens. And then is it Antoine Powell Rylan? I think that's how you say his name, by the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yep.
Is there anyone from this group that you think could really step in and kind of, you know, be a player for an NFL team here? A lot of these guys are going to be, you know, a little bit more of a long shot in the sixth round, but you do have a couple fourth rounders in there too.
Yeah, I think the two D linemen are stepping into just good franchises, good situations. I mean, they know what they're doing with defensive linemen in Baltimore and Philadelphia. Yeah. So I would like what they see in those guys going there. I think Tootin's an interesting case because he's really got great speed, and he's one of the first running backs this new regime took at Jacksonville. I mean, there's a reason they drafted him where they did. I think he could do some interesting stuff. And then Jalen Lane's the one to me that I think might just pop in the NFL because, you know, the offense of Virginia Tech was not really geared towards passing, not really too imaginative with how they did stuff, but he is such a dynamic receiver in the slot and can do a lot of things, reverses, returns punts like that. You put him on an offense where Cliff Kingsbury is calling the plays, I think that's going to be a pretty fun toy that they could have there with the Commanders. They have obviously great weapons all around that and a fantastic quarterback throwing them the ball. But I think he could be maybe a little bit like Eddie Royal was with Virginia Tech, where maybe he didn't quite show it all in college, but gets into an NFL scheme and they kind of open things up with him and he can really open some eyes.
Back on Dorian real quick, you know, No doubt. If you get drafted out of Virginia Tech, you're playing special teams, right? I mean, that's what they do over there under the Beamers. And it feels like, you know, this is a guy that could really fit in that role.
Yeah, then, you know, I think they hammer that home from the second you get to Virginia Tech is that's how you get on the field. And that's going to be very true of the NFL, especially for anybody taking, yep, you know, fourth round or later like that. You have to prove your value in more than just one way on the roster, and you know, he's got that experience. He's not like a return guy or anything like that, but you know, he's been down there in coverages and running down the field and being a gunner like that. So, and I think he embraces that opportunity. It's not going to be like beneath him or something like that. Like, oh, special teams, I have to play that. I think you look forward to that when you're at Virginia Tech. So I think that's a good thing about the program here is they sort of prepare guys for that mindset of what you have to do to make a squad in the NFL.
How long you been covering Virginia Tech? How long have you been talking about them?
Oh, man, it'll be 14 years in the fall.
Okay,
so
all right.
It's been a lot of games.
Yeah, for sure. I go back to the 90s. I went to Syracuse, and there's been some great battles between Syracuse and Virginia Tech in football. Back in the Donovan McNabb era, of course, a little before that, I remember him. Obviously, Syracuse had fallen off for a while, but now with the with Fran Brown coming back, a little bit more, you know, juice with the Syracuse program. The ACC, obviously not as good in basketball this past year, but looks like the ACC football, some of the interesting notes and things that have happened. Bill Belichick, obviously, and like I said, Fran Brown at Syracuse elevating them a little bit.
It's interesting, for sure. I don't know if it's great football, especially when you look at how the Big Ten and the SEC fared recently, but there's always some sort of drama. I mean, there were two member schools suing the conference a couple months ago until they resolved that whole thing. So it's sort of like one big, fun, dysfunctional family in the ACC that you just kind of have to laugh about it. But isn't that sort of what college football is? It's enjoying this weird, wacky sport for what it is and all its imperfections.
And what's weird to me, Andy, is as a lifelong watcher of college sports and went to a now ACC school, used to be the Big East, And I'm watching Cal play Syracuse or Stanford play Virginia Tech in football or basketball. I'm like, what are we doing here in the ACC? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it makes no sense. It's such a short-term decision, and you know, the realignment's going to hit again in some form or fashion within the next 4 years. So this is a temporary living situation for those schools, and I think you just kind of enjoy it for what it is. We actually went out to Stanford to cover Virginia Tech this year at Stanford. That was a great trip. Fantastic. Yeah. We do the whole San Francisco thing. Like, I don't know if it'll ever happen again because I don't think they'll be in the same conference, but it was a fun, unique, one-time trip. I don't think it's going to last, though.
Andy Bitter. You can find him on Twitter at AndyBitterVT. And we appreciate you joining us. Anybody wants to go there, learn a little bit more about, of course, Dorian Strong or any other of the Buffalo Bills, or any of the players from Virginia Tech who are going to the NFL. I appreciate it. Thank you so much, Andy. Thanks for coming on today.
All right. Thanks for having me.
All right. You got it. Andy Bitter right there on the Wester Hotline. Speaking of Dorian Strong, here is that Zoom call where I mistakenly said, I read you're a competitive weightlifter. I'm sorry. I'm human. It was his dad, but he did not correct me. He could have. He could have said, no, that's my dad. It would have been cool. But he rolled with it. Maybe he is a competitive weightlifter now. Maybe I got it right after all. Either way, here's the Zoom call of Dorian Strong with the media after he was drafted.
Dorian, can you hear us?
Yes, sir.
Perfect. Congratulations.
Appreciate it.
Look forward to getting you up here. We're going to start with questions from Alex Brasky.
Hey, Dorian. Congratulations. Welcome to Buffalo. Just first, I guess your emotions when you were selected by the Bills?
Just high emotions. It was a long wait, but like I said, just trusted God, trusted the process, stayed positive, and just ultimately excited just to see the phone call come across the screen.
In your draft profile, it says you're comfortable playing man and zone. Is there one that you prefer or you feel you're better suited for? Or do you feel you're pretty versatile in that regard?
Yeah, I'm definitely really pretty versatile, but like my strength, I like press man. I love my man coverage corner.
And how about on special teams? Do you have any history playing special teams? Thoughts on contributing in that phase here in Buffalo?
Yeah, I play special teams all 5 years at Tech, and you know, I love it. It's just a phase of the game that you got to win because there's a lot of hidden yardage in it. So to go contribute on special teams, to go do that, and then ultimately earn a starting spot.
Congratulations. Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Hi, Dorian. Sal Capaccio here, WGR Radio. Congratulations to you.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
All right, so we talked about scheme. What about on the field? Slot, outside? Do you have a preference? Have you played both?
Yeah, I've played both. I mean, I feel like where I'm best at is outside, but I feel like hopping into the nickel wouldn't be an issue. Like I said, I'm really good at it. Really good at covering guys, so I feel like inside or outside, I could do it both.
Usually, when you read about a competitive weightlifter, you're not talking about a corner in the NFL or at college. Tell us a little bit about your weightlifting background.
Yeah, so my dad, he's a professional bodybuilder, and so. What's it called? Just growing up and stuff. Like I was in the weight room with him, but really, he just wanted me to stay fast. But what's it called? But just like I always had that just competitive edge in everything I do. So when it comes to the weight room and stuff like that, like I really hone in on that stuff because that stuff is important. And I like lifting. I definitely grew into it. But yeah, I definitely like lifting.
Well, tell us how that's impacted, and helped you in the NFL, especially, not just like bench press, obviously, but squats and, your legs and your torso and, being able to sustain the rigors of football.
Yeah, so it helps you stay healthy, obviously. I feel like it helps you just with explosiveness. Like I said, just longevity with your hamstrings are growing, your hips, all that good stuff. Mobility, flexibility. So I feel like I said, the weight room is very, very important. Definitely getting on to the on-field play. Just because, like you say, like a corner when it comes to that press. Getting out your brakes, exploding out your brakes. Got to be able to do that, and that's gonna help for with from the weight room.
All right, and finally, where are you right now and who are you with?
Oh, I'm in Maryland and I'm with my family and friends.
All right. Awesome,
Yes,
man.
sir.
Congratulations again. We'll see you up here.
Thank you.
Yep.
Hi, Dorian. Matt Perino here from Syracuse.com. Congratulations.
Appreciate it.
Can you take me into this whole draft process for you, what your conversations have been like with the Bills throughout the process, and what you think they really liked about you and gravitated to you to pick you?
Well, just on the film wise, I feel like I fit their scheme and their system very, very well. Just what they like to do with guys. And then just throughout this whole process, I mean, the Bills have been very active in my pre-draft process. Me and Coach his name, me and the cornerbacks coach, Coach Day, we went out to dinner before my pro day. Talked to them multiple times. They brought me out there for a 30 visit. We went out to dinner again. So a lot of conversations with them. I was very strong on them drafting me. That was one of the main teams I felt like I would go to. And in the end, I went there. So yeah.
Away from like the scheme stuff and like zone man, everything like that, what else do you feel like you bring to a locker room?
Oh, personality, character, a leader. And just like a good dude. I feel like I'm a great guy. Just to come like lean have a shoulder to lean on. We can talk about anything when it comes to life, relationship, to kids. I don't got no kids, but like if you need advice, like I try to give you kids advice just because, my sister, I recently just became an uncle. So, I just been learning from her. She been giving me little tips and tricks on, saying how to just manage kids early on and stuff like that. So regardless, I just bring a life full of joy. And yeah.
Well, congratulations on that, and welcome to Buffalo.
Thank you. Thank you
Can you
so
hear me?
much. It's kind of sounds like a little muffled.
Got me now?
Oh,
Are we good?
that's clear. That's clear.
So just tell me, Dorian, what excites you the most about this new beginning here at Buffalo?
What excites me mostly is just to go prove myself. Very excited to, finally like know what team I'm on. Like I say, playoff caliber team. When I visited that team, like I just talking to everybody in the building, like everybody just brings a different aura about them. So like I knew it was gonna be a great spot to land at. And so yeah.
Speaking of that, what will be, what is it like, to get the opportunity to play with a contender?
Oh, it's amazing. Like I say, the Bills, the Buffalo Bills, man, they've been going on for strong for years. Multiple playoff appearances. Like I said, that organization is just it's just a great organization. And like I said, just meeting everybody, like it, I see why. I see why they're there every year, competing in the third, in the second round, in the playoffs, stuff like that. So So yeah, like I said, I'm very excited to come be on this team and to give my all.
What abilities do you bring to make an immediate impact?
Oh, I feel like just my competitive edge, the experience I'm bringing. I know a lot of football, seen a lot of football. So just when it comes down to like film study, like I said, getting it, and then playing, ultimately playing on the field. Like I said, going out there and making plays immediately in OTAs and putting my name out there. Like I said, y'all gonna know the last name Strong for a while. So, yeah.
Hey, man, welcome to Buffalo. Talk to you soon. Ready to compete.
Thanks, man. Nice talking to you.
That is Dorian Strong.
Appreciate your time, Dorian, and congrats again.
Appreciate y'all. Have a great rest of y'all day.
That is Dorian Strong, Buffalo Bills draft pick out of Virginia Tech. Just spoke with Andy Bitter a little while ago from Tech Sideline. Talked to us about Dorian Strong. A little insight on him. Yeah, his dad's a competitive weightlifter, competitive bodybuilder. I tweeted out a picture of his dad after they drafted him. Yeah. This dude is, yeah, he's pretty jacked, and that's what you'd expect from a guy like that, right? So he's been around that kind of competition and work ethic, I guess, you know, to be that type of athlete for his whole life, which is really cool to see. And you hope that translates into the NFL for the Buffalo Bills. 803-0550 if you want to jump on board. But as we get connected with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Getting some tweets on what second-year player you think needs to step up for the Bills, or maybe you expect to step up for the Bills. We got Manny who tweets in, if Bishop becomes a dude this year, for the ceiling for the defense is enormous. Solomon becoming a real weapon on passing downs. Ulofosho and Joe displacing Spectre would be great. Yeah, I mean, like, I when people say it like that, I think you just don't like Spectre. I mean, as long as one of them, if Bill and Spectre could stay healthy and be great, that's awesome too, right, for the Bills. Doesn't matter who it is. You just want the players to be contributors and good and help the team. But I do think Joe Andreessen beats out Bill and Spectre for the backup role. Ulofosho can play both. He's more of a Will, I think, for the Bills, but he's been trained to Will and Mike. What else here? We got, hold on, reading a couple of these from you. Bishop, okay, Buffa Knoll says, I think Bishop needs to and will make a jump, but I think Solomon has a big opportunity in the first 6 weeks to earn a bigger role, especially as a designated pass rusher. Yeah, I think that's right too. Cole Bishop and Dwayne Carter says Jason. Yep, I think those are the first two that come to mind. Good stuff here. Ethan, I think Carter is going to step up. Really surprised some people this year. All right, so you can tweet me at Sal Sports if you'd like. Which Bills second-year player needs to step up or you think will step up? You expect him to this year. That includes drafted players who went through the draft class. And this is independent of Keon Coleman, by the way. I think that gives it without saying it's Keon Coleman. And also guys who weren't drafted but are on the team in their second year. Joe Andreessen, Brandon Codrington, I think, come to mind specifically. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back here. And when we do, we'll hear from Jackson Hawes. We heard from Chad Bishop on Jackson Hawes a little while ago, about an hour ago. And now we'll hear from Jackson Hawes, the Bills' newest tight end, his Zoom call with the media after this on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. There were some amazing playoff games last night between the NBA and the NHL. I turned on the Bucks-Pacers game right when it went to overtime. And the Bucks just kind of dominated overtime a little bit. It's back and forth, and they dominated it. And you're like, okay, well, Bucks staying alive here. And then, oh my God, they blew it. Unbelievable basketball. And the Pacers came back, and they were down, I can't remember the exact score, six maybe, with like a minute left, whatever it was. And just they hit a three, they get a steal. It was crazy. Insane. And they wind up winning the game. And then you have this stuff with Halliburton's dad. Was it Halliburton's dad, Josh? With Giannis?
Yeah, that was Halliburton's dad. That's such a weird situation. Like, I don't really know what to make of the situation, but
yeah, and that was going on. And then I turned on the NHL game at the same time, the Senators and Leafs. Is it worry time at all in Toronto? They were up 3-0. Now it's 3-2.
This series is a win-win either way. Either we watch Toronto collapse, or we just get to watch Ottawa lose. Like, it's a win-win either way in my book.
Big goal from Dylan Cousins last night. He got the second goal for Ottawa, and then they scored a pair of empty netters later. And I saw this morning from Spittin' Chicklets a video of a Leafs fan burning a Mitch Marner jersey. Okay, couple things about this. Number one, burning jerseys is stupid. I'm sorry. It's just stupid. What are we doing? Why? You can do whatever you want. You have a right to do it. Not tell you don't. You can be a fan however you want. It's cool. I don't see the point. For me, I could donate it, man. There's probably somebody that could use something like that, right? But whatever. You want to burn it? It's your money. You spend it. You can do it. I don't get it. I especially don't get it when your team is actually still up in the series by a game with two games still to play. You still have two chances to close it out. I get it. You're getting all the feels there in Toronto. You're a little worried. They went a lot of years without winning the first round. They finally did, and then they didn't again. They've blown leads. We know that. It's your Canadian rival close by. We know that. I get it. You're getting a little tight up there, right? The second thing about this Marner jersey burning thing. Fine. You want to go burn Mitch Marner's jersey? Let that smoke flow all the way here to Buffalo. We'll take him. We'll take Mitch Marner. I mean, he is a Bills fan. Why do people keep tying Mitch Marner to Buffalo? It's because he's a Bills fan? Is that why I keep always seeing people do that, Josh? Is there something else? I don't know.
I don't think so. I mean,
that's just kind of it. I see people all the time talk about Mitch Marner and the Sabres and, you know, signing him. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, is there some other thing there?
If he's playing here, he is close to home or closer, I guess. I mean, you can't really get closer than this. So unless you're playing there. So like, I guess that makes sense. But other than that, I don't really know if there's any other connections.
Right. Yeah. It's kind of with like the Tavares thing, right? When he became a free agent. I understand all that, but sure. You want to burn a Mitch Marner jersey? Let that. Well, I mean, I'll take him. Maybe you don't like him out there. I'll take him. You're still up. Burning jerseys. Come on. Jackson Hawes, Bill's tight end from Georgia Tech. Blocking tight end. Loves the violence part of the game. And he met with us on Zoom after he was drafted. Here is that Zoom call.
Give us a hint. Offensive defense.
What's going on? How are you guys?
Good. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing amazing right now. Doing amazing.
Caught me off guard there. The Bills are making another selection here. But Jackson, congratulations. What was your reaction when you were picked by the Bills?
I could not like stop nodding my head. Like I was on that phone like, yes, sir. Yes, sir, coach. Yes, sir. Like, yeah, I still can't really stop nodding my head. I'm just excited, man. I'm excited.
The report on you is you're one of the best blocking tight ends in the league. Beyond that, what do you offer?
A lot of stuff in the quick game, a lot of stuff out in the perimeter, anything that the coach wants me to do.
What makes you so good in that role as a blocking tight end? What do you think it takes to become a top-level player in that regard?
I think you just got to be comfortable, like, sticking your face in there. You know, you can't blink. You know, my mentality is like my eyes are like the lasers, man, and I'm just staring down my target, and then I'm not satisfied until I'm moving them.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Hey, Jackson. Catherine Fitzgerald from the Buffalo News. Congratulations.
What's up? Thank you.
Tell us, what has this weekend been like for you? Like, where have you been watching? Who was with you when you got the call?
It's been fun. You know, yesterday, like, I was kind of all over the place. I was at my little brother's lacrosse game, you know, just kind of patiently waiting. And then today, I've just been at home, you know, with family, had a couple friends over. It's been mostly quiet, though. It's been good.
What were your conversations, meetings like with the Bills leading up to all this?
Yeah, I loved them. It was nothing but just positivity in that building. And, you know, I kind of looked at my notes after, like, all my visits and stuff, and I felt confident if they chose me, like I was just going to be just enthusiastic because it's an awesome building.
you've described blocking so far with lasers coming out of your eyes. I think you said it was punishing at the combine. Just like, what is it about your approach to blocking that makes it so like this?
It's just fun. Like, I think that, I don't know, like the violent like part of football just like really excites me, you know? Like, it really should excite everyone that's playing. But like, for me especially, like there's like no better feeling than like when you're moving someone and, you know, you see like the little running back just run right past you and get yards. It's a great feeling.
Awesome. Congrats. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Hi, Jackson. Tyler Dunn with Go Long.
What's up, man?
Your tight end influences growing up.
Tight end influences? Just watched a ton of Baltimore Ravens film. Mark Andrews does a really good job. You know, Isaiah Likely. Yeah, just a lot of Baltimore Ravens.
And you mentioned just loving the violence of the sport. When did that kind of click in for you? When did you really?
Yeah, I think it really like started in high school. You know, I grew up and we ran a triple option and I was a lot skinnier back then. So I was split out wide playing receiver. And, you know, I was asked to like crack block the safety a lot. And I started getting pretty good at that. And it, you know, it started exciting me.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Jackson. Congratulations, first of all. When you were looking at some film of the Bills offense and any meetings that you had with them, they obviously run a lot of, you know, jumbo extra offensive line packages. What did you make of the way that they operate in that package and maybe the excitement of how you might potentially fit into something like that?
To be honest, we didn't watch a whole lot of Bills film out of my meeting. But, you know, from the film that I've seen in like the games and stuff and what I've been watching, like, I'm excited. We obviously ran a ton of 12 at Tech, so just really looking forward to those jumbo packages, man.
If you look at this this tight end room, you know, Dalton Kincaid, Dawson Knox has been around for many years. Where's the excitement level at joining a room with established veterans already there?
I'm totally excited. I'm really excited. You know, I come in and I see myself as a true Y and see myself being able to contribute and kind of just being like, you know, bread and butter to those guys. Everyone offers a unique role, and I think that I can fit in really well with what I do well.
Thoughts on your new starting quarterback?
Love it. Love it, man. Love it.
Awesome. Thanks, Jackson.
Yes, sir.
There we go. How's that, guys? Sorry about that. Had my mic on mute. Jackson, you got, hey, Sal Capaccio here, WGR Radio in Buffalo. Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
So, an economics degree from Yale. You know, you don't see a lot of guys come into the NFL like that. Tell us about your journey through the Ivy League and being at that stage of your life where you've already kind of completed that part of it and now transitioning to the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, just the school portion of it. You know, I grew up in, you know, went to like this public schooling system in Salt Lake, and then that private school Ivy League education and being an economics major really shocked me. I kind of learned quick that like I had to approach tests a totally different way, but I think that that really helped me with just how I study, you know, the game as well, you know, preparing for like games on Saturday and whatnot. So, yeah. And kind of looked at my last year at Georgia Tech as an opportunity to raise my draft stock and had an extra year of eligibility and, you know, felt like it went really well. Here I am today.
Where are you right now? And what was your experience like through the last couple of days and especially today?
I'm just excited, man. I'm so grateful. The past couple of days, you know, it hasn't been a whole lot of emotions for me. Mm-hmm. I think that I've just been kind of patiently waiting, just really steady and calm for, you know, today or yesterday, whatever it was going to be. And it happened to be today. And this is just a great opportunity. I'm excited. Like my emotions, it's like shaking up like a soda can and just like, and just undoing it. So yeah, I'm excited, man.
Are you in Salt Lake right now?
Yes, sir. Yes, okay. Sir.
Your family, who are you watching the draft with?
Just been with the fam, had a couple friends over as well.
Okay. And then finally, I read a quote that you even said that the NFL has changed a lot over the years with how blocking tight ends, they've kind of gone away from that. Is that cool kind of to be thought of a little bit as a bit of a throwback, a little bit of a unique kind of guy these days?
I like it. Yeah, I like it. I mean, obviously I do what I do and, you know, I do what, you know, excels my game. And I hear a lot from coaches about, you know, how like, hey man, like this is something that's needed right now. And I take a lot of passion in what I do. So it makes me really happy.
All right, man. Congratulations. We'll see you up here.
Thank you. Yep.
Jackson, Mookie Hawkins, Russell Sports 1080. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, man, just talk about what really excites you the most, really, about this new beginning.
What was that? Sorry, I couldn't really hear.
What is exciting you the most about this new beginning now that you've been drafted?
I think that, like, you know, I've been asked that question a good bit, and I think just, like, the most exciting thing is, like, the new chapter, you know what I mean? And it's, like, something that I got, like, when I first started playing high school football, or when I first got to Yale, or when I first got to Georgia Tech. Like, I think that, like, turning the page on a new chapter, like, is the exciting thing. I can't really pick, like, one thing really that sticks out to me, but just, like, all of it, man, all of it.
What is it like, man, you know, an opportunity to play for a contender?
It's nuts. It's nuts. Really grateful. You know, the Bills, like, they're competing for that thing every single year, and I feel like I can bring something to the team that's just going to help continue to elevate the team.
Now, what was it like, you know, watching the Bills, you know, on TV, in the college life, and then getting an opportunity to play with them?
It's just going to be unreal, man. It's I can't even, like, put into words right now or, like, formulate anything cool, because it's just – I still got the emotions going and everything, you know what I mean? I'm just so excited to do this, man. I'm so excited, and I'm so, you know, just grateful. I can't reiterate enough, like, how grateful I am for the Bills for giving me this chance.
Absolutely, Jackson. See you soon, man. Congrats once again.
Appreciate you, Mookie.
Okay, Jackson, thanks for doing this. Mark Vaughn from the Buffalo News. You know, we talked to you at the Combine, how, you know, proving yourself in the ACC helped your draft stock and everything. Just looking back, what do you think playing just as a football player, what did your experience at Yale do for you?
I think that really, like, as a football player, it, like, started – you know, like, gave me the opportunity to see, like, all the other gears and things that are necessary in the off season to kind of become a complete player, whether that's, like, nutrition, stretching, film study, getting in the weight room. So kind of all those other elements coming together that I didn't really, like, prioritize as much in high school, I think that, you know, was something that Yale kind of helped me do.
Okay. And then, you know, I mean, obviously there's a lot of other targets at Georgia Tech. It's not like you got a lot of targets or there was other focuses of the offense. Do you think what do you think of yourself as a receiver? Do you think you could maybe surprise some people with your hands or receiving ability when you come in?
Totally. I think that, like, I can, you know, I can big body guys, and, you know, I'm a guy that, you know, I think that I have a lot to show. But, you know, I'm humble, and, you know, I'm going to do what's asked for me in the offense as well.
All right. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
All right. That is Jackson Hawes, new Buffalo Bills tight end from Georgia Tech. We talked earlier with Chad Bishop of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. You can find that interview on demand, WGR550.com, and in the Odyssey app. We'll take a timeout right now, but I want to remind you, Get Her, the ultimate pass to relaxation, renewal, and pure self-care bliss, for Mother's Day with our Odyssey Self-Care Passport. Enjoy 13 incredible experiences at select spas, gyms, and wellness centers valued at over $1,400. That's right, over 70% savings at $375. Visit getmyperks.com to get yours while supplies last. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back here, wrap up your Wednesday on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. All right, tune in to a special edition of Sports Talk Saturday with Brian Koziol this Saturday from 2 to 5 p.m. live from Batavia Downs. They're going to count down to the 151st Kentucky Derby. Batavia Downs is hosting several exciting events, including the Derby Gala, the Park Place Derby Lunch Special, a Derby Party at 34 Rush. Watch the thrilling Run for the Roses. Enjoy delicious food, drink specials, and don't miss your chance to win Derby shirts and glasses and their exclusive drawings. Join the fun at Batavia Downs this Saturday. Always a great day with the Kentucky Derby. When I was younger, I paid much more attention to it. My dad was into horse racing a little bit, and I always remember 1987, Ali Sheba winning the Kentucky Derby. Like, yeah, I remember winning colors. What was that, maybe 89, maybe? Can't remember exactly. I used to be able to name, like, a lot of the Kentucky Derby winners. I've lost touch with it. I can't do that anymore. I certainly don't know, like, the names of the horses, and in fact, like, I couldn't tell you any horse in this year's field. But because Saturday is a cool day, I think, Josh, what we're going to do is on Saturday, I think we're going to play Kentucky Derby Survivor. I think that's what we're going to do.
That's always, I remember we did that last year. What one did we end up picking? Didn't we pick the winner?
I have no idea. I can't remember. But we just basically we look at all the horses, we look at the names, anything else about them, and say, you know what? I'm eliminating that one. And then we both get to a horse that we're going to root for. That's what we do. So I'm all into it. That'll be on Friday. We can do Kentucky Derby Survivor on Friday. In the meantime, Sabres Live up next. Elliot Friedman says in his 32 thoughts that he does expect some changes, doesn't know how big or small. We'll see if they have anything to add to that. Bills, one Bills Live after that. And, of course, show up in the Bulldog at 3 o'clock here on WGR. Enjoy your Wednesday.